The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 120 of the Canes Cast, and I hate to do this, but you know what?
What's that?
It's just in time.
Really well executed.
Yeah, it's the low-hanging fruit, and I went for it.
Is somebody back?
Justin Williams is back with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Wow.
Hence, it's just in time.
Yes, it is.
I could have gone, it's just in time, but I went just in time.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it.
I know you did.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So speaking of, Michael Smith and I have caught up with Justin Williams. You'll hear that conversation in a little bit. But before we get there, you know, there's a lot of questions. It seems like every other tweet we've had at Canes Cast, at me and you, the past, start of the season, has been, when is Justin Williams coming back? What's he doing? When's he coming back? Well, he's back.
Yep.
But there is no timetable for the return of when he's going to be in a game. Now, that being said, Don Waddell, the president and general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes, has said that, you know, that it's going to be on his schedule. It's always been that way. Rod Brindamore said that. Justin Williams said that. But, you know, strange things happen. Hopefully nothing does. But he looks like he's in shape. He's practiced. I think it's just a case of you hear getting into game shape. But it's more like getting the timing back, which I don't think is going to take that very long. But you and I don't have the, it's going to be this game when he comes back. When he's ready, he'll be inserted back in the lineup.
Yeah. You know, today being Monday.
Ooh.
I'm going to pull up the date because full transparency. See?
How that word is pronounced?
We are pre-taping this episode since it is a game day, and we are currently, I mean, not currently in Washington, but when you're listening to this, the Hurricanes are in Washington.
But you know what? No matter what day it is, we're always sponsored by Storm Brew.
Exactly.
And let me just tell you right now. Do you have it off the top of your head?
I've got it ready to go. Right off the top of my head, Storm Brew is the official Canes beer. It's a crisp, light lager made by our friends at R&D Brewing right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. At just 97 calories and 2.4 carbs per serving, it's the perfect brew for all occasions, especially Canes home games, where a 16-ounce can is just $5. Taste the storm at your local tap room and most major retailers with new store locations added daily.
Crispy.
Very crispy.
Very crispy.
Delicious, too.
And crispy.
And crispy.
Great stuff.
As our friend Jordan Martinook
has, I believe, copywritten it.
Yeah.
We're allowed. We're grandfathered in.
He's quoted as saying, they should probably put it on the can. Jordan Martinook, crispy.
Jordan, exactly. Like a movie review?
Yes.
Jordan Martinook says, crispy.
Two thumbs up, crispy.
Exactly. And for us, crushable.
Oh, very drinkable. Crushable. Yeah.
Delicious.
So the team is in Washington right now,
yes.
And we're recording this. We've pre-taped this, so to pull back the curtain.
Wow, you are not letting anybody know that there's some magic going on here.
Just, you know, some sleight of hand.
Here's how the trick is done. I'm telling you, I'm Michael Smith.
Well, we're not telling him everything.
Oh.
Just some things.
Oh, why are you waving this at me like these aren't the droids I'm looking for?
I don't know. I'm trying to use the force. Yeah. Rise of Skywalker review, by the way, coming up next week on Canes Cast.
So we know that Bill Burniston will not be listening
right. Next
week.
And so if you haven't seen it, go see it in the next week so we can talk about it.
Also, Bill Burniston wanted us to mention, because we got a question last week about Nino Niederreiter and the strength and conditioning coach.
This is Bill Burniston coming to you live from the Canes locker room.
Wanted us to tell everybody out there that Nino does everything that is asked of him because there is
right. Post-game
workouts for the players. Nino completes everything. He's just a quick dresser.
Right. I guess we left working out. We left that out in the...
I thought it was implied.
Yeah.
Good for Billy for sticking up for his guys. Seriously.
Right. Yes, and Nino obviously completes every workout just like every other player does. But he's just quick.
Yeah.
He's a quick dresser. Quick. He's quick in everything he does.
He is a very skilled dresser, and he gets everything done. I don't know about you, but I get into an argument every now and again with, because she'll be like, we need to leave in 45 minutes, and you have not showered, and you have not changed. And I'm like, I'll be fine.
And then you're a little late.
Well,
probably.
I'm always late for everything, so that doesn't matter. But it's not because it takes me a long time to get dressed or, you know, showering. I'm very thorough, but I'm not taking a 25-minute shower.
Sometimes, though, those are nice.
Oh, you're a bath fan, are you not?
Sometimes I might indulge in a bath.
I'm a shower guy. I can't do the bath
anymore. We've gotten way off track.
Yes,
Justin Williams. My point being was, yes, reiterating your point of, we don't know when he's going to return to the lineup. But it's going to be whenever he gets up to game shape, whenever Rod Brindamore feels that he's ready to come into a game, whenever he feels personally that he's ready to come into a game. But as you'll hear from him soon, he's been skating for quite a while. He's been working out for quite a while, so he's not totally behind the eight ball. But at the same time, his first practice on Thursday was like day one of training camp, essentially. So it's going to take him a little time to work back up to speed to where he can get into the lineup. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him before the All-Star break.
Yeah, sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Now, if it's after the All-Star break, maybe that's the case. But I get the sense that maybe, you know, he wants to, you know, test it out in a game. I think maybe the Hurricanes want to see him in a game before, you know, stepping away for really the better part of nearly 2 weeks when you combine the All-Star break with the bye week that the Hurricanes will have after. So we'll see. And believe me, when he's coming back into the lineup, everybody will know. And you'll know as soon as we know. But it's not going to be immediately. It's going to take a few practices. Just like, you know, when an injured player is coming back from an injury, there are steps that he has to take. You know, there's the no contact jersey. Then there's, you get some contact practices in until then, you know, you're ready to enter the lineup. It's the same sort of situation with Williams. He's got to get up to pace, get up to speed, get on par with really what the Hurricanes are doing. And once he reaches that level, then Rod Brindamore will and the Canes coaching staff will have some tough decisions to make on who to bring out of the lineup in order to put Justin Williams back in the lineup. But bottom line is the Hurricanes are a better team now with Justin Williams in the locker room.
Well, and he said as much, Michael. He said it in his press conference. He said it when he talked to me, when he gave Fox Sports Carolina's an exclusive. That's a one-on-one interview for people who don't know that.
Hi.
Thank you. And at the same time, it's a situation where I know that he is being mindful of his teammates, of what's going on.
Absolutely.
And how that's going in. So while we did have some ado, let's not have any further ado. Let's bring our conversation with the man who is back in the Canes locker room, and we'll be back on the ice very soon, Justin Williams.
It's been a long time since episode 5 that we've had the best guest ever in the history of Canes Cast join us. He's Justin Williams. Hi, Justin.
Hello, Mike.
Good to see you. Mike. We've stepped up our game a little bit since last we've talked to you. So
yeah, it was all the way back in episode 5.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before we got on air here, this big production, I mean, this place is really, really ramped up. I mean, the artwork on the walls, the Bill Burniston picture we have looking here. I mean, this Red Bull fridge, things are looking up.
I know.
Well, congratulations, guys.
You know, we owe a big thanks to you because the Canes stepped their game up. We have to step up our podcast game.
Nice.
So what's it feel like to be to be back in this locker room? I know it's been just a couple of days, but how's it been to see some old friends again?
You know what? I've had quite a few people ask me that question, so I actually know how to answer it. And to be honest, it hasn't really felt as though I'd left. I came in yesterday, and guys were giving me crap, and I can't swear on this thing, right? I mean, I got to say crap. I have to say crap.
You can say crap,
Well, I mean, guys are giving me crap, you know, ride me. It was just kind of like, it's kind of like I never left. And the guys that I wasn't familiar with, I've gotten to know a little bit. I've met here or there. So it's been pretty easy. And I figured it would be as well. Just familiarity and knowing the guys makes it an easy transition for a guy coming back like me.
You said you weren't bored in your sabbatical away. So what were you doing to fill your time? I know that you were coaching your son's hockey team, but what else were you doing on the days in between?
Yeah, they practice 3 days a week, these 11-year-olds nowadays, so that takes up a little bit of time, and weekends is gone, and, you know, there's a lot more things to do around the house. I mean, I think any married man has a honey-do list. That, yep. I mean, I knocked stuff out like that.
Now it's just going to start to pile up again.
Exactly.
I mean, if you ask my wife, I don't think she was sick. I mean, she said she wasn't. She could be lying, but I have a lot of interests, and so I wasn't bored at all. I started to play a lot of tennis. I really started to like tennis a lot, and I think it's no secret that I play a lot of golf. I love golf, too. But there was just there's a lot of things to do, and I wasn't bored at all. I just figured I could come back and maybe help this team and have one more shot at it.
Well, was it after you played tennis with Marty Natchez and Teuvo Teravainen and you realized I'm better than these guys, so I can clearly come back and play if I want to?
Yeah, I mean, I think hockey players are the best athletes. I'm not just saying that because I am a hockey player, but I honestly think that. I think we're good at a lot of sports. I think we have more multi-sport athletes than any other professional sports league.
But John is
there. Right. I said it. Yeah. I said it right here.
I think you're 100% correct. Because I think that hockey players can jump in and play baseball or tennis. I don't think a baseball player or a tennis player is going to jump on a rink anytime soon and play at a decent level.
No, we have to do a lot of things that, you know, the hand-eye, and we have to all do it while skating, right? I mean, I'm not saying I can go out and hit a curveball. I'm not saying that at all. But as far as intramural athletics, right. I think we could. I think we're pretty good at it.
Justin Williams just said that he can hit a fastball, though, from Garrett Cole. You did not say that, so we'll just get the headlines out for the Canes cast.
Bring it.
But you can return a John Isner serve.
No, I can't. No, I can't. I can touch it if he lets me. But no, I can't.
Okay. What was Eric Halla, talked to him the other day, and he said he got a chance to kind of get to know you a bit when he was injured and you guys shared some ice together. So what's it been like meeting some of the new faces in this room? A lot of the faces you already knew, but there are some faces, like you said, that you didn't know.
Yeah. I think hockey players as a whole, it just seems like we're very similar in some aspects. Obviously, everybody's going to have their little mannerisms and personalities that makes them different, but we have the same schedule. We have the same needs. We, all compete with each other, but you get compete with each other for ice time. You compete healthily, and I think that's a great teams have. And getting to know the guys, Eric, obviously skating with them, and I mean, that was a big, big bonus for me because skating by yourself isn't much fun at all. So when Eric was injured and had the opportunity to be like, hey, come out and skate with me, that was big for me. So, he left me halfway through a road trip and left and go to play professional hockey. So other than that, it's been good getting to know the guys.
You also got to skate with Tim Gleason, Eric Cole. Cam Ward, maybe even?
Yeah, the three of us, yeah. And I told Cam, I said, I tried to get him so many times to put on the goalie gear. I said, Cam, come on, man. I've been sick of shooting at empty goals. I have a professional, ex-professional goalie here sitting right here making passes to me that aren't very good. Go in the net for me. And he actually thought about it for a little bit, but he had never actually got the pads in there. But no, we as I said, we had fun. I had fun with it, and I'm thankful that I had, those guys, Cam Ward and Eric Cole and Tim Gleason, and my buddy Mitch Eisenberg was there with me every day, helping me out and just making stuff fun. Because when you just sit there, and I think when people even go to the gym and they just sit there and work out and hop on a bike or do something, it's just a lot more fun when there's other people around and make it more fun.
But like you've said, hockey players, you've been in a routine probably since you were 14 years old, maybe even younger than that. Was it weird the morning you woke up and there was no routine? It was, you had to set the schedule for you. Was that a weird adjustment for you at all or no?
Yeah, it was weird, yes, but I was fine with it. As I said, my statement at the start of the season, it was honest and I wasn't sure. And it was a little bit odd coming to a couple hockey games and just being in street clothes and watching the game as a fan. It was different, but I prepared myself for it. But, hey, such is life, and you move on and you have new experiences. And I didn't know I'd have the opportunity to come back and play some hockey again, but here I am.
When did you realize that you might want to get back on the ice, start skating again just in case?
Well, I don't think that ever left. I mean, it was always back there, right? Maybe. But the commitment that I had to put in wasn't there at the time, so I had to put it off. And it was, I would say, probably around mid-October that I said, you know what, might as well get on the ice for a little bit, stay in shape. I'm not one of those guys that's going to sit around and I balloon up, I think, when I'm done playing. I've, you know, I'm always want to go somewhere. I always want to try and do something. I'm always want to be active, and my kids help me with that as well. But I just said, all right, let's give it a go. So this is going to be a lot easier to transition into playing professional hockey when you've been skating 3-4 times a week for, you know, almost 3 months. Than just getting off the couch, the lazy boy, and saying, you know what, I'm ready to play hockey. Let's go. I'm not naive and dumb to the fact that I wouldn't have been able to do that.
How good was it, though, where you could just be dad for a time of the year where you've never been able to be dad, wake up, take the kids to school, and kind of go through those things? You know, there's a lot of guys in your position, they don't get until they're fully out of the game, and sometimes kids are out of the house by then.
Yeah, I think I've been very blessed and privileged in the fact that I'm a professional athlete and my kids are now old enough to appreciate what that means. I think a lot of professional athletes, you know, have kids and they're young kids, and by the time they get to be about 7-8 years old, when they can actually appreciate what, you know, their father's doing, you know, they're out of the game. So fortunately for me, my kids are 11 and 8 now, and when I told them I wasn't going to play to start the season, it was holy smokes. They were saying why, and you know, that obviously helped me transition back into it too, knowing that the family support was there. The saying, why not go do it, we're behind you, and my family's been my rocks.
When did you when last season ended, did you feel like that was the end, or did you want us maybe take some time and figure out where your body was, where your mind was?
You think about it. I didn't just all of a sudden at the end of the game last year be like, all right, well, this could be it. I mean, you think about it for years and, mm-hmm. and years. I thought about when I was 30 years old, how this is going to end. I don't know how it's going to end. You just live it. You try and stay productive. You try and stay relevant. And you try and do the thing that you've loved to do ever since you were 5 years old, and that's play hockey. And fortunately for me, I've still got the opportunity to play against the world's best, and that's something that's a privilege I find and something that I don't take for granted.
You also chatted with Mike Fisher about this too, right? Because he made a midseason comeback a couple of years ago. But I guess maybe the difference there was he had retired and really totally stepped away. You kind of left the door open. So what were those conversations like?
Well, I think it's really, at the end of the day, it's just a statement, right? It doesn't mean anything. I mean, I could have said, you know what, I retire. I could have said the same thing. So, you know, the fact that he retired and came back and I just took a break and came back, it's really the same thing. It doesn't matter. But I did reach out to quite a few people who were similar situation than I was, and Mike was certainly one of them, a guy who was productive and a guy who just stepped away and retired, and I talked at length with him, and he gave me some great advice and said, you know what, I think you could probably put yourself together for 4 or 5 months and give it a go, as long as the family support is there, and it was as it was with him.
You talked about all of the things that the average person doesn't get to experience for being in the role that you're in, the locker room, the guys giving you crap. And everybody I think I've ever heard who steps away says that's what they miss the most. But for you, how much do you miss that compete when you're on the ice and you're looking a guy in the eyes and it's that, you know, that moment of like, this is what I love to do and just get out there. I'm going to put it out there and let's see if it's good enough tonight.
Yeah. Competition. That's why we're here. You're not playing in the NHL if you don't have that in you, that will, that want, that compete, that I'm going to beat your butt, I'm not going to let you beat mine type attitude. And that drives you. And you play for the most important situations. Like, you put everything, all the effort you have into it, from training camp, from the start of the season, from everything, to get to the moment where it's win or go home. It's playoff time. you or them, and that's what we play for. That's the opportunity that I have in front of me, and that's one that I'm going to work my tail off these next few months to realize.
Can I say how impressed I am that you just didn't go home and open up every bag of chips in your house, sit on the couch, order three pizzas, and just go to town? How did you not? You could finally, you actually had the green light to do that. How do you have the discipline to not go, yeah, I'm going nuts here tonight. This is a me day. This is a Justin Williams day.
Well, you have me days. Let's be honest. Everyone has me days, right? You just sit down and say, you know what? It's not the day for me. I'm just going to relax. I'm going to chill. I'm going to watch a whole day of football, and I'm going to eat anything that I want. But then you wake up the next morning, you're like, what am I doing? You know, I feel like crap. It's just, I don't know. I think one of the reasons that Coach Brindamore and I have such a unique personality, and I feel we have a lot of similarities is kind of that, like, we're never going to get like that. We just have that thing about us. And I'm obviously, Roddy's to a different level than I am. He's in phenomenal shape. I don't know what age he is now. How old is Roddy?
I think he's 48. 48,
maybe, something like that. So, you know, I'm not saying I'm Rod Brindamore by all means. I'm not Rod the Bod, but I am going to stay in shape when I'm done playing. And that's something that's probably really important to me.
You got to be like Rod Brindamore, be a head coach for your son, you know, while you were away. What was that experience like? And what did you learn from it? And can you teach?
49.
Rod is 49. Okay.
Yes. And
when was his birthday?
August 9th, 1970.
Okay. There you go.
Sorry. Just felt that was breaking news, and we had to get that out there.
So you got to be like Rod and coach your son and get that experience. So what was that like, and can you bring anything back and maybe offer some pointers to head coach Rod Brindamore?
There's nothing that I can tell Roddy that he doesn't already know. He's just further along the process than me. Like he coached his son as well and Skyler all the way up. And I've had to get some information from him. Like, hey, how were you then? How were you at this age? How were you at this age? Bantam age, peewee age. How were the kids? You know, when did you start competing really, really against the better teams? That type of thing. So I'm not going to come back here and pretend that I know everything, but I definitely did out-coach everybody every time we played.
Including Jerome again.
Again, let's see. Well, he beat me twice. So probably, I might have not have out-coached him that time.
Oh, I mean, it's not about the final score sometimes.
No, it is. No, it is. It's about the final score. It always is.
I'm trying not to ask you any repeat questions because you've had everything in the last 3 days, but how much did Roddy, being the coach and the relationship you have, make all of this easier than what it might have been in maybe a different scenario?
Yeah, it's when you weigh pros and cons, I mean, that pro is it just counts as like 3-4. Just the familiarity with Roddy and his familiarity with me, knowing what we can bring, what we stand for, what we're committed to, and you know, the competitiveness that we have. It just goes such a long way. And, you know, loyalty that we both have to the Carolina Hurricanes organization in this city, that just speaks volumes. And I think it resonates with a lot of people.
So as a fan, these last few months, how have you, what have you seen from the team in their performance?
Well, watching as a fan is a little bit different, right? You're sometimes caught up in just watching the highlights, right? I mean, that's what it is, right? When there's the whole game of how did that highlight happen, which is, that's what the coaches look like, right? Why did this happen? How did this come? So it's a little bit different watching, but, you know, I think this team, you can tell certainly this year has an elite skill level. The fact that you're never going to be out of a game, and that's great. We got a ways to go on learning that we don't need to win games 6-2 when you can win them 5-2, right? Sometimes you can play a little bit safer and just keep teams out of it, and you don't have to give them an opportunity to get back in the game. And I think that's something that I think a lot of teams in the league, as you see it, there's so many more comebacks this year from 2 goals, even 3 goals. I've seen even 4. And you're never really out of a game. So learning to play defensively and being able to shut people down, is something I think through this last half of the season we need to do.
How much fun was it for you that hometown hockey in Canada was in Cobourg? It was just this weekend. You got to be there and share. This is what it's about. You do so much for hockey in that area and, you know, what it's given you. Was it just fun to say, we get to put this on the map and everybody gets to see this weekend?
No, it was cool. That hometown hockey, they put on a really good production. They get some really great people working there. And one of the cool things about it was, you know, I'm obviously from Cobourg. The narrator, Chris Johnson, he was also from Cobourg. And the producer, Mark McDonald, also from the same area. So the three of us kind of did the whole, not the whole thing, obviously a lot of help, but we're in part responsible for doing that little spot. And they did a great job. And Cobourg's a great hockey town, and I'm glad they got the ability to host that, because it's a pretty cool event.
Well, we know that, you know, the wife and kids are happy. How about mom and dad? Are they happy that son Justin Williams is putting the uniform back on again?
Well, and mom gets to come to Nashville in a month too.
And the well done by you, by the way.
No, she'll be definitely excited. I mean, mom and dad are. I mean, I know what they wanted. They wanted me to keep playing, but they're at the same time. We're like, hon, you know. My mom still calls me sweetie. So she's, you know, sweetie, we support you in anything that you do. And my dad too. And I know they're really excited I'm back just because it's what I wanted to do, not what other people wanted me to do.
We've talked a lot about Andrei Svechnikov's two lacrosse goals this year. Have to ask your perspective on seeing them as a fan and as somebody who was his teammate last year during his first year. And you got to see, you know, just how talented he is.
Sure. I mean, he's went from playing, you know, 13, 14 minutes with no power play time to playing 17, 18 minutes a game, relied on more, counted on more. And he's counted on more because he's shown the possibility and the ability to do it. So when you get more opportunity, more ice time, your confidence grows, you try new things, and all of a sudden we have the Svetch, which should be trademarked by him.
Absolutely.
To be quite honest, it's had a pretty big impact on not only youth hockey, but I think throughout other leagues as well. Oh, yeah. And other players. I mean, people all want to try it. I mean, my peewee practice has suddenly gotten 3 minutes longer because these kids are behind the net trying to lift the puck on their stick. And I'm like, what are you doing? So he's kind of got a little following now, and people are talking about it. And that is important to have a star like Svetch, and man, we sure lucked into that and winning that lottery and getting him as a pick.
Well, should we let him know that he has been a part of every episode of the podcast that we've done since episode 5? You have been. I don't know if you know that or not.
Yep.
Really?
At the end of
that's a nice fact there.
Yeah, it is. It's at the end of every episode. You thank everybody for listening. It's Justin Williams who says thank you for listening. Wow.
Yeah.
So,
did you guys thank all your listeners for listening?
Always.
Always. Okay. Yeah.
Always.
Well, let's do it again. Thank you all for listening to this podcast.
And thank you, Justin Williams, for stopping by to chat with us.
And selfishly, thank you for coming back because we love chatting with you.
Yes.
No, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
That seemed more appropriate than the...
thank you.
But we can play them both.
Thank you.
It's thank you.
Either one works, which... We might have a new one to close the show now.
We might have a new one. We haven't had him on since episode 5. I don't think there's been any other interview.
No.
Not even on Media Day, I don't think. It has been a while since we've had Justin Williams on this podcast, and it is always a pleasure.
And I think we can still hold up much respect to everyone who has been a guest. He was at the time for episode 5, the first guest we ever had. That's why he was the best guest we ever had.
But yeah.
I think we can make the case that he solidifies the top spot. And I don't know if you've gotten any of this. I got a lot of, well, what's this going to do for the room? What's this going to... Nothing.
Yeah.
It. When I say nothing, like, if people think that this is going to be a negative, how? Am I going to go on my, how does Jordan Staal coming back into the roster mean it's a bad thing for the Carolina Hurricanes rant? Do I have to do that? Because I'll do this for Justin Williams if I have to. But I'll do this. Because there are people out there who think that this could be a bad thing. Who are you? How could having a guy who scored 23 goals last year, who admittedly, by every teammate he has played with, talks about how clutch he is, what a good guy he is. Listen to the conversation. He is as decent a human being you will meet on this rock spinning around the sun. And he goes into a room where 95% of the room already knows him, so they know what they're getting. The 5% that needs to know him will get to know him. He has already been skating with Eric Halla. He'll get to know Joel Edmondson. He'll get to know James Reimer. He'll get to know the guys he needs to know. They'll love him the way that his teammates everywhere have loved Justin Williams. And oh, by the way, he's skilled. You just added at the trade deadline, how many questions would we get? Who are the Canes going to trade? This guy's available. What's going on here? Why not get him? They added a guy who scored 23 goals last year, and it cost the organization zero assets. It just cost Tom Dundon's money. That's what it cost. How is this bad?
Yes.
I'm asking.
Retweet.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I think it's at least a fair question to wonder how
it's not the exact same team, so I get, well, what's right. he going to do from right. a chemistry experiment?
And I asked Jacob Slavin that, and he said, look, there is a different dynamic to this group this year, but on day one, he came in, and he immediately felt a part of that group. Yeah, you were at that practice on Thursday, his first practice back with the Hurricanes, and it was almost like he had never really left.
Yeah.
And he said it himself too. It's like he almost wasn't even gone for a period of time. And then I asked Eric Halla, who is one of the new faces, who you know, is not as familiar with Williams as most of the locker room is. And Halla is you know, as we mentioned obviously in the interview, got the chance to skate with him while he was working his way back from a knee injury. So he got to know him a little bit, but even he said, look, we are a better team today than we were yesterday because he's in this locker room. He knows exactly, Eric Halla knows exactly the type of player Justin Williams is. And you can say the same for all the other new faces, Ryan Dezingle, Jake Gardner, Joel Edmondson, James Reimer. They all know exactly what they're getting in Justin Williams, and adding him back to the room is not a negative thing. And I think it does parallel, like what you were saying, adding Jordan Staal back to the lineup. It's not a bad thing when you are adding a talented player who, when you ask around, if you were to poll the 30 other teams in the NHL and you said, would you like to add Justin Williams at the trade deadline? I would venture to say all 30 would say absolutely. And the Hurricanes did just that with, as you mentioned, no assets to give up, just a little money in a one-year contract for the remainder of the season. That is about as good of a trade deadline acquisition as you're ever going to find.
Yeah, and I'll go back to this point too, Michael, which is if this was such a what's it going to do to the room kind of question mark, why did we hear that other teams like Tampa, Toronto, Boston were calling, Washington were in? Because they know what he brings to the room.
Yeah, he, and I get too. There were a lot of questions about, okay, well, Justin Williams was the captain last season. Will he come in and wear the C or wear an A this year? That's not going to be the case. The Hurricanes have a leadership group of Jordan Staal, Jordan Martinook, and Jacob Slavin. At least the ones who wear the letters. They were assigned the letters at the beginning of the season. They're going to continue to wear those letters. Justin Williams will not wear a letter on his sweater, but does that make him any less of a leader? Absolutely not. You saw even the season before he was a captain, when he didn't wear a letter on his sweater, he was absolutely part of the leadership group. The captaincy last season just sort of made it official. But even though he's not going to wear the C, he's still going to be a big voice in that locker room. Now, it's still Jordan Staal's team. Jordan Staal is still the captain of this team, and Justin Williams isn't going to get in the way of that. He's going to be a vocal supporter of Staal. He's going to be a vocal component, an integral part of that leadership group. It's not going to take anything away from Jordan Staal. It's not going to take anything away from Jacob Slavin. It's not going to take anything away from Jordan Martinook. If anything, it only helps them.
And it's not going to take anything away from Justin Williams.
Right.
He knows who he is.
Right. He doesn't have to change anything.
No. And that was last year, if we can step in the time machine, last year, the best thing about Justin Williams for that team was he never changed who he was. He is the same guy. How many times did Rod Brind'Amour, when he was asked about Justin Williams, say, you know exactly what you're getting with him?
Yep.
This is what he is. You know, the story from being on the bench in game 7, double overtime against Washington, he's just sitting there going, be patient. You know, our time's going to happen. Be patient. You know, game 7, double overtime. And he's saying, guys, be calm. Be patient, because that's what he is. And what Michael Smith just said, I echo that sentiment, because now you have a guy who's been there and done that. And if there is any question marks, Justin Williams is going to be the guy who will say, no, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And then that ends all of the drama. But it's, I think some people like to overthink things just because you have the opportunity to do it.
It's in our nature, right?
Like, yeah.
As humans.
It is. But this is one you don't have to overthink.
No, not at all.
I go back to last year. How does adding a 6'4", 220-pound center who wins just about every face-off he takes and shuts down the other team's top center, how is adding that a bad thing to a team that's rolling? That's, you look to add those things.
Right, exactly.
Wow, I kind of went Herm Edwards there. You play to win the game. You look to add those things. Sorry.
Kind of presidential, too, in the delivery.
Sorry, not sorry. Like no, I don't. Well,
no, not, yeah. Yeah, not.
Okay. Thank you, yeah. All right.
Have we lost some people?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Billions.
Millions. China. All yeah, right. Certainly not that guy.
But there is the question of where does he slot? Where does he play?
Yeah, and that's actually, I was going right there with you. Let's put our coaching hats on because, you know, everyone knows that we're experts in that field, yeah. And we should definitely put coaching hats on and be coaches and give advice to professionals.
The fact we haven't been named an NHL head coach yet is a mystery.
Mystifying.
To
yeah.
Me and you.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get a call someday. But yeah, what if you are Rod Brind'Amour, how do you approach this situation where you've not had to healthy scratch a forward this season yet, and you've got a group that seems to work pretty well on the ice together. You've got players and roles that seem to be pretty yep. well-defined, and they're each successful, you know, to their own degree. So barring an injury between now and when Williams comes back, because obviously that changes everything, where does he slot in?
Well, I don't think that when he comes back, he's going to jump in and play 17, 18 minutes a night, which is what he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll ramp up to it, but I think that the natural spot then would be, if we're going to number the lines, be on the fourth line for the yeah. Carolina Hurricanes. And I think there are going to be some situations. Again, we're dealing with a 38-year-old who's in phenomenal shape, and I just don't know how he had the willpower to just not go. I'm taking 2 days on the couch.
Oh yeah, to think back and, you know, he obviously didn't have that commitment in September, but then in October to go, oh, you know what? I should probably get up and do something.
Exactly.
That like when I retire, no chance.
Oh,
I'm stapled to the couch.
I'm not retired. And I almost had it.
True.
I'm like when 3-4 days a week.
When I go home in the evenings, yep, staple me right to the couch.
I am Velcroed. Get a spatula and out we go. All right,
but
to that end, I think that he would start on the fourth line, and you might have to think in some back-to-back situations he might not play the next night.
Uh-huh.
So things will work that way.
Yep.
I'm guessing there's going to be a rotation. I have nothing to base it on.
Yeah.
But nobody deserves to come out of the lineup.
Right. And that's the hardest part right now is no one really, you can't point at one of the 12 forwards and say, you know what? He could use a game or two in the press box, because I think really that group this year has been excellent. They've been steady. Their roles are well-defined. So that's what makes it tough. But at the same time, Williams in your lineup makes your lineup better.
Yeah.
So someone has to come out, and you're not going to play 13 forwards and 5 defensemen because that would be silly. So it is going to be one of those forwards coming out of the lineup. And perhaps it is a rotation of maybe one guy sits out a few games and another guy sits out a couple of games. similar to how the Hurricanes have been shuffling their defensive group yep. with Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Hayden Fleury sort of alternating every 3, 4, 5 games or so as to who gets in the lineup. So it's going to be a tough decision. And Rod Brind'Amour even said as much that when that time comes, he's going to have a tough decision to make. But until then, he doesn't really have to worry about it because Justin Williams isn't an option just yet. He's until he's ready, he'll just be a healthy scratch.
Yeah, he'll be a healthy extra. He'll be a practice player who's going to make guys better.
Yep.
While he's getting himself better. Like that, I think that's a sneaky bonus or luxury that the Canes are going to get out of this. They bring a guy who's going to practice, and he's using this practice to sharpen himself, and that's going to make the guys around him better.
Yep.
Who's got to work against him in drills, who's got to work against him on, you know, power play units, whatever it's going to be. You have to bring it against Justin Williams. By the way, I loved his answer about competing. Like, that's what it's about. Like,
oh,
that.
Yeah. Well, that's what drives him, right? Like, that's what, and probably any athlete you ask, but he's really raw and honest about just the fact of, you know, how he's so deeply affected by wins and losses. And, I mean, everybody saw it on his face after Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Final last year, just how demoralized he was, just how
I don't know. I hate to do this, and I don't want to get – it's a semantic thing, and I hate when people do semantics to me. Demoralized is to me, it's a – I think it was just how exhausted he was.
Yeah, that's that,
– I think that's – he gave everything
he had,
and there was nothing
physically and emotionally. Yeah. But he was also, I think, angry with the fact that the Boston Bruins bested the Hurricanes in 4 games.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And I think, you know, maybe part of that fueled his – desire to give it one more shot. You know, maybe if the Hurricanes win the Stanley Cup last year, maybe Justin Williams is like, okay, you know what, I've you know, reached the top of the mountain for the 4th time in my career, I'm okay stepping away for good. But they didn't. They were the 4th best team last year, and so he comes back, sees a team that can easily get right back there, if not go farther, and he wants to help them reach that the ultimate prize again.
Yeah, I think that there's so much to him and to what he brings to this team. And yes, this podcast is very Justin Williams focused.
Yeah, but it's the Willie cast today. Yeah,
well, it's fine.
Yeah,
fine by me. Yeah. But and again, Michael Smith has already pulled back the curtain that we are. This has been recorded ahead of time, so we do not have the results from the previous games.
The only game we can talk about at this point, you and I, is the Philadelphia game, which preceded the Justin Williams announcement. And it was important for the Canes, if we want to just briefly touch on that, to get back in the win column because they had lost 5 of 7 games. They were playing a Metropolitan Division opponent that is hot on their tails in the standings. And so it was important for them, even if it took overtime, even if the Flyers got a point out of it, it was important that the Hurricanes came away from that game with 2 points, and it was a skilled player in Dougie Hamilton making a skilled play in overtime to win the game for him.
Can I also add how important it was, not just for Dougie Hamilton to get the game winner in overtime, but Jake Gardner gets a big goal, Joel Edmondson gets a big goal. This is a team that they go up, they fall down, they come back, and they, you know, they bounce right back.
And that's something Justin Williams alluded to in our interview was you know, he said there's no shortage.
Wow.
Yes, thank you.
That's just getting the transparency of the word out there for you, my friend.
There's no shortage of skill on this team, but maybe it's a team that needs to learn how to clamp down a little more and, you know, play with a lead, secure a lead and then play with it.
And I don't know what's been going on recently where the Canes starts, because I don't think they've been bad. I think that you look at the scores, and we're going to sit here and tell you that, you know, it was 2-0 Flyers, but the Canes weren't bad. The Canes were not bad in the first period, even when they fell down 2-0. They weren't bad.
No, it was kind of the opposite of the last meeting here between the two teams where the Hurricanes had the 2-0 lead. They scored on the first 2 shots of the game, but I think that kind of disguised the fact that they weren't very good. Yeah. This, they were down 2-0, but they weren't bad. They weren't bad in that first period. In the third period, debatable.
Yeah.
But everything else, the first and second period, and obviously the overtime, was good.
Well, the funny thing about this, and when we start going, you know, everything's debatable, I don't put a lot of stock in shots on goal. I just don't. But shots on goal in the first period were 16-8 in favor of the Canes. And I'd say scoring chances were probably along the lines of 8-4.
Yeah, 2-1, same ratio.
So that's one of the things you look at. So that's something that I don't know if it's really concerning, but it's, you know, a mystery of the unknown right now. The Canes aren't playing bad, but they're looking up on the scoreboard and they're down.
Yeah.
And maybe a guy like Justin Williams can come in and, like you say, clamp down some things, tighten up some things, well, add that to it.
And if nothing else, he can draw from that experience, because he's been on plenty of teams that, you know, have gone through things like this. I mean, even looking at the Hurricanes a couple seasons ago and learning how, you know, bringing a team up to speed and teaching them how to win, how to be successful, he can certainly draw on that.
Yeah. Can I also add how cool that moment is becoming on the bench for the first star of the game interview here at PNC Arena?
Oh, yeah.
It's something special right now.
Yeah.
And the players feel it. The crowd makes it happen. And Dougie Hamilton told me that his grandma really did tell him.
Yeah, he said it's a true story.
Yeah, that she wanted to hear the crowd chant his name. And, you know, I hope people appreciate it and take it for what it is, because there is a really cool bond right now between the fans here who have waited a long time.
Yeah.
They got it last year, and they're keeping it rolling this year to support this team and the players. And it's an easy group of guys to get behind and cheer for.
Yeah, and just imagine what it'll be like when Justin Williams does come back and play in a game. And hopefully, you know, selfishly, hopefully it's at home so that the fans here can see it and cheer him on. And for sure he would be in the starting lineup that night. And, you know, maybe not that night he gets first star, but maybe, you know, sometime in one of his first few games, he has a great game and gets named first star, and just thinking to what the atmosphere might be like for that bench interview will be cool. And, hey, he gets to participate in Storm Surges again instead of just watching him on television or from the from Tom Dundon's suite.
I'm kind of excited about that, because what surges are coming out now?
Yeah, that's – I mean, he's kind of the you know, if you look back to last year, it was sort of
– He's the godfather. This is his darn house. He sleeps 20 feet away.
Yeah.
I still have a great idea for Star Wars night.
Well, next year, I guess.
I know. Keep it to myself.
Okay.
Under my hat.
We'll reveal it on Kane's Cast episode. I can't do the math, so somewhere closer to 200.
Yeah, we have to know when Star Wars night's going to be. Yeah. Are they even going to do it now that they're done with the movies?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, maybe not.
Speaking of Michael Smith, we will get to that next week.
Yeah, we will get to that next week. What we'll get to now is Storm Brew, which is the official Canes beer.
Ooh.
It's a crisp light lager. I've enjoyed a few of them.
Well, I think that
you can enjoy a few of them because they're so low in calories, just 97, and carbs 2.4, and it's only 4.2% alcohol by volume. So, like we like to say, crushable.
I think the next time we have a Canes Cast and it's not on a game day, we'll probably be sampling.
Yeah, yeah, we, you know,
because
we are professionals here, so we try to hold ourselves to a standard of excellence.
And again, because what Michael Smith just said, it's 97 calories, so Michael, you only need to run one set of stairs when that happens here.
I think that's what it equals, yeah.
Yeah, and again, very crushable, and you can find it at Harris Teeter, Food Lion, Lowe's Food, Whole Foods, Fresh Market, Costco right now, and all of the locations, like Raleigh and Durham.
I saw it in
and Apex.
My local Raleigh Costco, and I was like, oh, Storm Brew.
Walmart, Wegmans, Handy Hugo's. I saw it at Wegmans the other day when I was in there.
Very nice.
It's all good. Plus, the Carolina Ale House watch parties. It's the perfect opportunity for you to sample the Storm Brew, and they're partnering up with our good friend, Jordan Martinook, Crispy.
Very crispy. One of those watch parties coming up this week, actually, when the Hurricanes are in Columbus on the 16th, which is, I believe, this Thursday, your chance to try Storm Brew at one of the Carolina Ale House watch parties.
Tell them Mike and Mike from the Canes Cast sent you.
Yeah, please do.
Or and if, Michael and Mike, or the web and TVs.
Yeah, either one.
That works for me.
And if you're enjoying a Storm Brew because you heard about it on this podcast, tweet it. Yeah, tag R&D. Let us know.
Ooh, this could be a future giveaway.
Yeah, it might be. We've seen a few people enjoying the Storm Brews because we've recommended it. So that's always good to see. Supporting our friends at R&D Brewing.
Can you do me a favor and cue up Mr. Will Ferrell for us?
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
With what you were talking about, Justin Williams, he will score a goal in his first game back this year.
I'll take it just because I really, really hope that happens. But
it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I was so confident in that answer, I was taking a sip of my beverage. Unfortunately, not Storm Brew right now.
Yes, because this is game day and we are professionals.
Yes.
We save that for later.
Exactly. After the game, bring it here.
You're right. Pedal down.
Exactly. I said I don't take baths. Floor it. We had a tub, put it in there, floor it. I'm getting in.
But before the game, professionals, water, energy drinks, you know, whatever we need to get through the evening. Yeah, I'll take it. I hope he scores a goal in his first game. I hope he, you know, let's go for it. I hope he gets named the first star in the first game so he can sit on the bench and you might not even get a question.
No, there will be no questioning. It would just be me looking at him in the crowd chanting.
Yeah. And
it'd be great.
Okay. Thanks, Willie.
Thank you. Your first star. Back to you, John.
The easiest interview you'll ever do.
Exactly. I am in, all in for this. I don't expect you to have one because, one,
nope,
didn't think you'd have one anyway, and two, we haven't solicited people because of the recording time.
Right, and I punted on it as long as I could in this podcast
because
we're nearing the end.
Notice I was not letting you off the hook.
Yeah, you know, I could say, like,
don't.
Justin Williams will have X number of points, but we don't know how many games he's going to play, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't have anything.
Yeah,
I'm just going to roll with my standard answer of don't have anything.
In the video portion of this podcast, people can see the shocked look upon my face.
Yes, exactly.
No, you don't.
And my just resignation of, you know, never being prepared enough.
Of course not. You're the most prepared human being I know, yet for this, the one thing that you actually came up with, I'm pretty sure it was your bit, you're never prepared for it.
Yeah. Yeah, oh well. Maybe one day. Maybe it'll change one day.
There are bigger tragedies.
Yeah, there are.
That's what they tell me. Is there any other thoughts that you want to get into here?
I our interview with Justin Williams was pretty wide-ranging, and I think we touched on a lot.
Yep.
And I think we've kind of answered all the questions we can at this point about his return.
Yep.
I'm glad that, you know, we can finally say, yes, he is indeed back, because there was, you know, talk of it for months. And I'm glad he's back. I know you're glad he's back. The Hurricanes, his teammates in the locker room are glad he's back. And Rod Brindamore said it after practice. It kind of gave the team a little boost. It feels different.
It didn't feel like a normal practice.
Right. But at the same time.
In a good way.
It feels different, but in a way it doesn't.
Feels the same.
Right. And I think that's exactly what you could ask for.
It's like what he told us. It feels like he never left. And it really does feel like he never left.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. And now he's here. And I went on I don't think it was. Was that really a rant?
I think it was just a passionate defense of why it's good that he's here.
Yeah. I mean, I had an example to draw off of last year.
Right.
And you know what? That's still not going to stop people from asking us, what are they going to trade for?
Yeah, or when's he going to play? We don't know.
We don't know.
Where's he going to play? We don't know that either.
They
don't tell us anything.
And we don't know anything.
And we're certainly not going to suggest to the coaching staff where he should play. And even he said he's not going to suggest to the coaching staff, even though he had a bit of a coaching career while he was out.
Yes, he did. That could be a future like it, keep it. If not, send it back.
But Justin Williams will be a head coach one day?
Or what his future will be.
Or a coach, yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's well-spoken, you know, enough to where, and he commands a locker room.
Yeah, he does.
I don't know. Maybe he would enjoy that.
It's for another day.
That's for another day. And that's the other thing, too. Like, is this his last season? That's for another day.
It's for another day.
We'll see. He's 38. He feels great. Who knows?
All we know is that this episode of the Canes Cast was Justin time.
It was just in time for you to enjoy on this Monday, game day, Hurricanes in Washington tonight.
Yes.
Should be a good one.
Win by a lot.
Should be a good one.
I don't, you know, I never cheerlead, but that's one where.
This season series has been great. And maybe it ends up in another playoff series.
Yep. And for the don't take it literal department, when I tweet, hey, can we get the divisions to play each other like 6 to 8 times again? I'm not actually meaning it. It's just because I'm watching a really good hockey game, and I really enjoy watching games like that as much as humanly possible.
Yeah, because right now the Hurricanes' record is not that good.
That was the point that somebody, no!
Right, no. Well, it'd be bad.
Just saying.
Yeah, it's
builds up.
Oh, these
builds up rivalries.
These three games, if you will. These three games have been, you know, some of the three best regular season games, you know, I can remember.
Yeah,
very exciting.
Agreed, 100%.
Yeah. So enjoy this one tonight. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. We'll be back next Monday with a more typical, you know, let's talk about the games. Let's talk about the Canes sort of episode. We'll
review a question about the game or a question about the Canes.
Yeah, you never know. We'll review Rise of Skywalker. So again, if you haven't seen it, see it in the next week so we can talk about it. And maybe
we're talking about it anyway.
And maybe we'll have some Storm Brews too,
and more guests,
and more guests,
and maybe Storm Brews with guests,
and maybe a Marty Minute.
Ooh.
And a Storm Brew.
All of these things.
With Jordan Martin.
They're very possible. So that'll do it for this magic edition of the Canes Cast.
Yeah. the hand wave is important.
It's, yeah,
the video portion, they'll see it.
People are going to go crazy on this. For the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We will talk to you next week.
Moi moi.
Thank you.